Welcome to Turn In Your Hymnal To. I'm Rex Bridges, and today we will be looking into the background story of God of Our Fathers, known of old. God of Our Fathers, Known of Old, 1897. When a hired girl thoughtlessly tossed the manuscript of Carlyle's The French Revolution into the fire, there was no one standing by to rescue it from the flames. But fortunately for posterity, when 32-year-old Rudyard Kipling cleaned out his desk and carelessly threw away a 7-stanza poem he had written on the occasion of Queen Victoria's Diamond Jubilee, someone was present to rescue it from oblivion. Miss Sarah Norton, daughter of Harvard history professor Charles Eliot Norton, was a guest in the Kipling home in Sussex, England, that memorable year, 1897. On the 16th of July, when she saw the famous author-poet gather up some papers and drop them into the wastebasket, she asked permission to look through them, quote, "just in case you are discarding something of lasting value," unquote. When Kipling consented, she examined the material and found nothing of special interest until she came across a poem which he had entitled, After. The immediate occasion which had inspired him to pen the stanzas was the pomp and ceremony attending the Lord Mayor's presentation to Her Majesty of a pearl-studded sword at Temple Bar, at the entrance to the medieval section of London during her Jubilee year. "This poem is too good to throw away," the young American guest told her distinguished British host. "I disagree," he replied, "but if you think it contains something of value, show it to Aunt Georgie," Lady Byrne Jones, a neighbor. When Aunt Georgie read the stanzas, she was as enthusiastic as Sarah had been. The two women encouraged Kipling to revise the poem. When he did, he reduced it from 7 stanzas to 5, and included the same 2-line refrain after 3 of them. He even used Miss Norton's pen with which to make the changes. A marginal note on the completed manuscript read, quote, "written with Sally's pen, R.K., unquote. Subsequently, the original last line of the last stanza, quote, "Thy mercy on thy people, Lord, amen," unquote, was retained. The author sent the poem to the London Times, and it was published the very next day, July 17, 1897. The young lady who had received the original was given the annotated copy by the author himself. After passing from her hands to those of relatives, it finally found its way to the British Museum, where it is now the property of the British people. Kipling, both of whose grandfathers were Methodist preachers, showed little interest in religious matters and never dreamed that anything he wrote would be used as a Christian hymn. On the Road to Mandalay and Boots, or The Hanging of Danny Deever from his Barrack Room Ballads, 1892, would hardly be used in Sunday school or church. And while his numerous books revealed a spark of genius, they were the works of a masterful storyteller rather than a deeply spiritual writer. His friends and admirers were grieved when Queen Victoria refused to appoint him Poet Laureate, but not surprised, for he had offended Her Majesty by calling her the Widow of Windsor in one of his poems. Furthermore, he had not been officially requested to furnish a paean of praise on the occasion of her Jubilee, in accordance with established custom and tradition. But while the quote-unquote official poem has long since been forgotten, his stanzas, retitled The Recessional, took the country by storm. The author was praised and damned by his fellow countrymen, some taking his warnings to heart, and others denouncing them as a traitor to his people. As for the poet, he had written the last phrase, lest we forget, first building the rest of his stanzas around those 3 words. He later said, "That poem gave me more trouble than anything I ever wrote. Sitting down with all my previous attempts before me, I searched through dozens of sketches until at last I found just 1 line I liked. That was, lest we forget." Round these words, The Recessional was written. Though written for a timely occasion, his lines are timeless. The mad race for power, prosperity, pomp, and pleasure are not only the sins of his people in his day, but the sins of every nation in every age. Everyone needs to take to heart the opening lines, God of our fathers, known of old, Lord of our far-flung battle line, beneath whose awful hand we hold dominion over palm and pine. Lord of hosts, be with us yet, lest we forget, lest we forget. In the 39 years that remained to him after he wrote these memorable words, he did not produce one line that can equal them in greatness or match them in splendor. But he did live long enough to see his beloved England accept his poem as one of its greatest literary productions. Queen Victoria is dead, but the processional lives on.
Making through
This has been Rex Bridges, reading from Living Stories of Famous Hymns by Ernest K. Emurian. Copyright 1955 by Baker Bookhouse Company. Used by permission of Baker Bookhouse Company.